Shalom, welcome to SJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Chasdai, Pesach Ben Dov, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Harav Meir Kahana, Harav Binyamin Kahana, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers, I of course want to speak about what happened with our Hebrew Facebook page this past week. It was really almost predictable. Facebook being the left-wing Bolshevik anti-Semitic site founded by a Jew who was worth tens of billions of dollars, Mark Zuckerberg, he's worth tens of billions of dollars. And with all his money and all his power, he intermarried. He couldn't marry a Jewish girl, he had to intermarry. This is the type of self-hating scum that founded Facebook. And naturally, in Israel, they pick 30 people to work for them in Israel to deal with the Hebrew-speaking sites. And they pick people all from the most far-left, self-hating backgrounds. So it was predictable that once we got big and strong, that they were going to want to take us down. They were going to want to close down our site. But this is not at all going to stop us and not at all going to defeat us. If anything, we're going to come back stronger and bigger and better. You'll see. But first, I just want to review everything that we accomplished, because we accomplished an awful lot and we proved an awful lot. In just 3.5 months, we acquired over 27,000 likes or members. In effect, members. Over 27,000 Israeli Jews decided to join our page, to join our movement. Hundreds of thousands were visiting every month out of curiosity. Hundreds of thousands visited, and over 27,000 actually decided to join and join and link their accounts to us and link up with us. We had tens of thousands of views for our videos and our posts. Just one of our videos on the Arab who was killed after he gave the three-finger salute to celebrate. He was celebrating and showing how happy he was about the murder of the three Jewish teenagers in Israel, the three kidnapped Jewish teenagers. And the video we did exposing that this Arab was not an innocent Arab, but was in fact an Arab who supported the Hamas terrorists, mass murderers, and kidnappers. That video got 60,000 views on Facebook, and if you look on, it has almost 30,000 views even on YouTube, even though YouTube is only mentioned in passing when we were concentrating on Facebook. YouTube is mentioned only in passing, so we've got a total of about 90,000 views for just that one video. 90,000 views for a Hebrew video in a country of only 6 million Jews, a small Jewish country of only 6 million Jews. 90,000 views for one video? In 3.5 months, we overtook all the other right-wing Hebrew Facebook pages. We became the biggest right-wing Hebrew Facebook page in 3.5 months. These other pages had been advertising and had been promoting themselves for years. And they had former Knesset members and all types of people. And for years they were promoting themselves. We overtook everybody. We became the biggest in just 3.5 months. So we reached a lot of people. And we influenced the way tens of thousands think. Now tens of thousands go around and say there are no Palestinians, there are no occupied territories, all the land of Israel belongs to us. The Muslims have 3,000 times as much land as the Jews in 66 nations, and yet the whole world demands that, and the self-hating Jews demand that Israel give up the little land that she has. Our views became much better known, and we became much better known. That's a tremendous accomplishment. And now we're back. We're back with a new page. We put up a new page. And I'm telling you, you'll see, I can't go into detail right now, but you'll see one way or another, we're going to be even stronger than we were with the 27,000 views, we're going to be even stronger and bigger than we were before. Just like on YouTube. JTF veterans who were around in 2007 will remember that we had pretty big YouTube pages, a big Hebrew YouTube page and a big English YouTube page, with many, many views, and many people were coming to the page. And YouTube decided to take the pages down for the same anti-Semitic reasons as Facebook. Completely unfair, completely outrageous. The same YouTube and the same Facebook that accept Arab terrorists and Hamas and Hezbollah and ISIS and David Duke and Nazis and the Klan and Farrakhan. The same Facebook and YouTube that never touched their pages or their accounts took ours down. That was, and YouTube did this to us. ZooTube did this to us in 2007. Did it work? You remember at the time I said, we're going to come back and we're going to be bigger and stronger than ever on YouTube. They're not going to stop us from reaching people. And if you look at YouTube today, we have hundreds and hundreds of accounts and hundreds of thousands of views in Hebrew and hundreds of thousands of views in English. We're bigger and stronger, much bigger and much stronger than we were in 2007 when they took us down. Much bigger and much stronger. We're all over the place now on YouTube. So just like they didn't stop us on YouTube, they're not going to stop us on Facebook. I'm not going to tell you what we're planning to do right now. You'll see, but we have our plans. We are going to be bigger and better. We already have a new page, and we're going to be doing other things that you'll find out about in the upcoming weeks. And again, I assure you, we're going to be bigger and better and reach more people than ever. This will not stop us. You'll see. Be'ezrat Hashem, God willing, with God's help, I believe that the same thing that happened on YouTube will happen here, and we're going to be stronger than ever. Just to show you, by the way, how unjust and how evil Facebook is. There are pages on Facebook that have said death to the Jews in Hebrew and English. Arabs writing in Hebrew, Arabs who live in Israel, who obviously speak Hebrew. Unfortunately, we put them in Israeli schools and educate them, and they get jobs from Jews and money from Jews and support from Jews and scholarships in universities from Jews. And then they write in Hebrew on their Facebook pages, Mavit la Yehudim, death to the Jews. On our Hebrew, one of the things we showed on our Hebrew Facebook page, we showed over and over again examples of Arabs writing death to the Jews, calling for the destruction of Israel on Facebook. Do you think their Facebook pages were taken down after they wrote death to the Jews? Facebook said that the reason they took us down is because we had a picture of Rabbi Kahana on our cover photo. On our cover photo, we have a picture of the Western Wall and a Jewish girl praying at the Western Wall. And on the side, Rabbi Kahana is also on the picture. They said that picture violates Facebook community standards. Because of that picture, they took down our site. But the dozens upon dozens of sites that we've exposed, which say death to the Jews, which call for genocide against the Jewish people, Facebook doesn't take those down. Even after they've been reported and complaints were made, they don't take them down. In fact, we can even show you one in English where it says death to the Israeli Jews. And Facebook responds and says, we looked at your complaint, and we don't see that this doesn't violate our community standards, they responded. The same thing they responded, by the way, in Hebrew, when people came to them and said, hey, look at this, they're writing in Hebrew, death to the Jews, kidnap Jews, murder Jews, slaughter the Jews, Hitler was right, defending Hitler on their Facebook pages, they praised Hitler on their Facebook pages. Facebook defending Hitler and saying death to the Jews doesn't violate Facebook's so-called community standards. But an innocent picture of Rabbi Kahana on near the Western Wall, that violates Facebook community standards, and they took down our page because of that. If that isn't anti-Semitism of the worst type, then I don't know what is. But look how much we accomplished. The real reason they took us down, of course, is because Bibi Netanyahu and the Likud, his supporters, were complaining. Dozens of them, the day before we were taken down, came on our site and said, "We're going to report you. We're going to get this site taken down. How dare you say this?" Because we were exposing Netanyahu and his losing policies and his losing war in Gaza, the disastrous results of his war in Gaza. We were exposing what a coward and a liar Netanyahu really is. And so all the Likudnik, what we call in Hebrew, Halikudnikim, all the Likud people, and all the BB sycophants came on our, they started flooding our page with threats that they're going to go to the Facebook management and they're going to take us down. How dare we? And of course, we were taken down because of that. That was the real reason why we were taken down. Because we became a threat to Netanyahu and the Likud. That's why we were taken down. Because our arguments were so persuasive and so strong that they were convincing thousands of people who may have been brainwashed to think that Netanyahu is fighting the war and he's a hardliner and he's a right winger. And we showed what a farce his policies really are. How so many Jewish soldiers were murdered in cold blood, unnecessarily, uselessly. How Hamas is going to be stronger than ever because of this. How all the Arab enemies of Israel will be stronger than ever. We showed it, we proved it convincingly with pictures, with documents, with articles on our videos. They saw us getting tens of thousands of views for every video. They saw us getting tens of thousands of views for our posts. They saw hundreds of thousands of Israeli Jews visiting every month our page. They saw over 27,000 actually joining us. And they understood that they had a problem, so they said, "Well, you know what? Let's do some censorship here. We can't debate." They tried debating us, and they lost badly. So they said, "Look, we can't debate because they don't have any answers. They don't have any answers." And so they said, "Let's censor. Let's do the totalitarian thing and just silence the opposition, silence any dissent. Let's prevent people from expressing their opinions freely." And Facebook, all the leftists who work at Facebook, gladly went along. But look what we proved. We proved we could do it. With a limited, pathetic budget, look what we were doing. Imagine if we had a real size budget. Imagine if we had a decent budget. Can you imagine what we could do? And so we should be very encouraged about what happened in the past 3.5 months. And don't let the fact that they took the Hebrew Facebook page down for now, don't let that discourage you at all. Of course, we're angry that we're treated unfairly, that this is injustice. Of course, yimach shmam v'zichram to all the people who are responsible for this. But have no fear. Our message is going to get out there. It's going to get out there to even more people than before. You'll see. Remember, those of you who were around in 2007, remember, I promised that was going to happen on YouTube. It's going to happen on Facebook. It's going to happen on Facebook too. And so we need your help because we've proven that we can make a difference. We've proven that we can reach a lot of people, and we can. Now, if we can reach all these people and convince so many people with such a limited budget, if we had a decent budget, don't you think we could run for the Knesset in a coalition with other people on the right? Don't you think we could run for the Knesset and get elected? Of course we could. Of course we could if we had a decent-sized budget. And we run for the Knesset if we're in the Israeli parliament. then you'll see history change. That will change Jewish history. You put me in the Israeli Knesset, I'm telling you, we will change Jewish history. Because then the impact will be 1,000 times as great as what you saw in the past 3.5 months with our Facebook campaign. 1,000 times as great if I'm in the Knesset. And so we need your help. When we put up Hebrew and English videos on Facebook and on YouTube, when you see us put it up on the forum, when you see us doing this, and when you see us doing it on our Facebook page, please help us promote it. Please like and comment and share on Facebook and on YouTube the videos. Even if you don't speak Hebrew, help us with the Hebrew and the English videos. When you like and comment and share, when you do those things, you promote us in the Facebook, Google, YouTube search engines. It helps. It makes a difference. And of course, that's one thing you can do. And the second thing, please help us by having good threads and posts on our forum and our Facebook pages so that we'll attract people. People will want to become involved. Good threads and good posts will attract more people to our forum and to our Facebook pages. So help us with that. That's the second thing. The third thing, which I really should have mentioned as the first, but I jumped ahead of myself. The third thing, which should have been the first thing, is we need your prayers. Pray that we succeed. Pray that we bring this message to as many people as possible. We need your prayers as well. That's very important. Prayers make a big difference. And fourth, last but not least, checks, money orders, cash donations made out to our organization and sent to the post office box, sent through the mail to the post office box. Obviously, it makes a big difference. We've seen with our own eyes what a difference it makes. You've seen with your own eyes. You helped reach large numbers of Israeli Jews with this message. And we're going to reach them again. And we're going to reach an even bigger number now. But you helped do it. We prove that our message sells. We prove that our message is something that Israeli Jews view as worth joining, worth liking, worth participating in, worth coming back and checking our page out again and again as hundreds of thousands started doing every month. We proved it. And so every check, every money order, every cash donation makes a huge difference. If we get a decent sized budget, we will become a mass movement. We will change Jewish history if only we get enough funds to do so. Right now, we're a long way away from getting the type of decent-sized budget that we would want. But we're still reaching, and it's reaching a lot of people and changing a lot of minds. We're doing a lot of vital work. I don't know. I don't even want to think about what the situation would be if we weren't around. Can you imagine if there was no JTF doing this or everything we've done? Can you imagine how bad things would be? Everybody would be either against Netanyahu from the left or in favor of Netanyahu. There'd be no right wing. There'd be no right wing opposition to him. No serious right wing opposition. It would be a terrible tragedy for Israel. In 3.5 months, we became the biggest right wing Hebrew Facebook page because of your support. If we're not there, the only pressure on Netanyahu and on his government is from the left, from Obama and Kerry. Do you want Netanyahu to only be pressured by Obama and Kerry and the UN and the European Union and the radical left news media in Israel and the Supreme Court? Do you want those to be the only one pressuring Bibi, who we know gives into pressure and who we know is a coward? Do you want them to be the only ones pressuring him, or do you want counter pressure from the right to make sure that at least someone is standing up for Jewish principles and Jewish rights? If you want counter-pressure from the right, we're the group to support. That for sure we have proven in the past 3.5 months. So every check, every money order, every cash donation makes a big difference. And if you prefer, because of convenience, instead of sending a check or money order cash donation through the regular mail, some people prefer to do it through the regular mail. Other people prefer to do it with their credit card online through PayPal. You can do that too. To us, it makes no difference if it's through PayPal online or if you want to do it through the regular mail. It makes no difference at all. Whatever is most convenient for you, to us, it's the same. If you want to do it online, you just go to our Hebrew main page, hayamin.org. Hayamin.org is our Hebrew main page. And click on the donate button. And that's it. And in several minutes, you can conveniently make a donation to help our cause. God bless the great JTFers who enabled us to do what we did in the past 3.5 months. I'm so proud of you. Those of you that helped, those of you that did help, I'm so proud of you. And you should be proud of yourselves. And we've just begun to fight. We're going to make a difference, God willing. We've just begun to fight. I don't know. It's the same issue we've always had all along. Will we reach enough people, get big enough and strong enough, fast enough in order to prevent terrible tragedies? That's another story. We're certainly going to try. But one thing is for sure. It certainly can hurt and only helps when our message reaches as many people as possible and puts as much pressure on Netanyahu and the other phony, corrupt politicians in Israel as possible. It can hurt and it can only help, that's for sure. And if you, for those of you who understand Hebrew, if you went to some of the other right-wing pages, you saw that they started sounding more and more like us. As we got bigger and bigger, they started sounding more and more like us. That's deja vu. The same thing happened when Rabbi Kahana was in the Knesset, when our great leader, Rabbi Meir Kahana Zatzal, was in the Knesset. All of a sudden, people started sounding like him and repeating. They didn't even realize it. They started repeating things that he was saying without even realizing it. Not saying Rabbi Kahana said this, just on their own saying these things. I go to Hebrew, you know, I saw people writing all over Facebook and writing, using things that only we use, figures that only we use. That certainly is encouraging. And you're going to see more of that, God willing. But if we want to, the more the better. If you want to really make it successful, help us. Because, frankly, our goal, we'd like to be in the Knesset. I'd like to be in Israel. We'd like to be in the Knesset. If we get big enough and strong enough, that will happen. The question is, will we reach those goals in time? That's the question. All right. Anyway, let's get to our questions from our great JTFers now this week. And we start out with the great Wandering Samurai 81, who writes, and I quote, "Dear Chaim, how is Magic Johnson still alive?" Unquote. He's still alive because of the medicine that white people, whom he hates, have created in order to deal with the AIDS virus. This is something that white doctors and white scientists have researched and have done, and they're the ones who keep him alive, even though he hates white people and has expressed racist views against white people. Thank you, Wandering Samurai. And we now go to the great Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim. What do you think of the outbreak of the Ebola virus in Africa and the people coming to the U.S. for treatment? Thanks." Unquote. Isn't it amazing there's so many diseases that come from Africa? All these diseases come from Africa. Ebola, AIDS, these terrible diseases. And even diseases that were cured many years ago in the modern world. In Africa, they're still widespread. It's just, what a disgusting continent. It's a disgusting continent, I'm sorry. It's a backward, cruel, vicious, disgusting continent. And yet, if you go to school today, if you go to colleges and universities, and even high schools today, they brainwash, they teach everybody that Africa is the most advanced, and the mother and the cradle of civilization. In Africa, they're actually the most advanced. And every movie and every television show, Africans are portrayed and blacks are portrayed as the best doctors and the best everything. It's a farce. And I'm not saying that there aren't talented black people in the world. There are. But generally speaking, Africa is so backward and so primitive and so behind and so dependent upon white people and white countries. It's just pathetic. Thank you, Joe Gutfeld. And we now go to our great friend Smash Islam, who writes, and I quote, one, any Islamic texts that mandate honor killing. Why does this occur so often among Muslims, unquote? I don't remember offhand any text in the Quran or the Hadith I don't recall offhand where it is, but there's no question that everything these Muslim terrorists and monsters do has a basis, a scriptural basis in the Quran or in the Hadith or in their books. There's no question about that. The unrelenting violence and fanaticism and brutality and cruelty and hatred of the Quran and the Hadith breed an atmosphere where this takes place. Remember, the word love appears in the Torah, in the Tanakh, in the Jewish Bible, in the Tanakh, over 1,000 times. It doesn't appear in the Quran even once. The word love never appears in the Quran even once. It's over 1,000 times in the Tanakh, in the Jewish Bible, and not once in the Quran. That's the difference between the beautiful Bible, our beautiful Bible, our beautiful Tanakh, and this monstrous book written by this lunatic, Muhammad, called the Quran. And Smash Islam now writes, to rebuke, Jews must respect Islam because of its monotheism, unquote. Well, I guess then Nazis, who are monotheists, should also be respected. In other words, if someone is a monotheist, if someone believes in one God, and then creates a religion around, and then creates that God in his own image, because that's what the Muslims have done, they created Allah in their own image. They're cruel, monstrous people, so they made Allah cruel and monstrous. And so they create a religion where they say that if you don't believe in their silly, insane, superstitious, lunatic Quran and Hadith, if you don't believe in that, you have to be exterminated. But they copied the monotheistic part from the Jews. That they copied from the Jews. That Muhammad ripped off of the Jews. Because there were many Jews in Mecca and Medina. So we're supposed to respect... We're supposed to respect a monstrous, murderous, genocidal religion just because they believe in monotheism? The opposite. The fact that they believe that there's a God and only one God. They should be learning from that basic morality, basic human decency, which they have none. They have no morality, no human decency. They're monsters. They believe in one God and then commit these horrible acts in the name of that God? It's an atrocious religion. No wonder Adolf Hitler praised Islam, loved Islam, hated Judaism, hated Christianity, but loved Islam. No wonder. Thank you, Smash Islam. And we now go to our great friend Lewinsky Stinks, Dr. Brennan Rocks, who writes, and I quote, likelihood BHO, Barack Hussein Obama, will physically attack Israel, unquote. I don't think he's planning to do that in the near future. Of course, eventually, Gog and Magog, in the days of Gog and Magog, eventually the nations of the world will want to physically attack Israel. That day is coming. But I don't think right now he's planning to do that. Right now, his main his main objective, and the main objective of the Europeans and the UN and all the other anti-Semites, is to pressure Israel, to pressure that pathetic, weak leader in Israel, Netanyahu, and his pathetic, weak, so-called government, to pressure them and blackmail them and squeeze them until they agree to commit national suicide. That's their goal, to get them to create a so-called Palestine state, to get them to allow millions of Arabs in Israel to fire rockets and murder Jews and make life unbearable for the Jews in Israel, shut down the Israeli economy and make life unbearable so millions of Jews have to hide in shelters. Their goal is to create a situation where Israel will be unable to survive. That's what Obama aims to do for his fellow Muslims, pressuring Israel not to win wars, pressuring Israel not to strike Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, pressuring Israel to create a so-called Palestine state and go back to the suicidal pre-1967 borders, pressure on every front to get Israel to commit suicide. And now Lewinsky Stinks writes, how many Israelis are still for disengagement, unquote? No, most of them are against it now, obviously. Disengagement is the Orwellian euphemism that was used for the expulsion of 10,000 Jews from Gush Katif in the Gaza district by that beast Ariel Sharon, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro. And, of course, Lewinsky Stinks, don't you think Israelis realize that everything that we said was going to happen is happening? This is why it's so important that we become a mass movement so that Israelis will bring to their attention, will say, hey, look, weren't we right? All these other people now. Netanyahu voted for the expulsion from Gush Katif. The Likud members supported it. Most of the Likud people supported it. It was a Likud prime minister, Ariel Sharon, that did it. I mean, weren't we right? Haven't we been proven right? Look what happened. Everything we said was going to happen in Gaza has happened. Everything they said was going to happen, the opposite has happened. How many times do we have to be proven right, and how many times do they have to be proven wrong before people wake up? If we could get that message to all the people of Israel on a regular basis, I'm telling you, we'll be on our way to power, to taking power eventually. First things first, we got to get our foot in the door, first we got to get in the Knesset, and then we'll be on our way if enough people hear that message, if enough people hear it repeatedly. Most Israelis are now against it. In fact, to show you how much they're against it, Netanyahu, who voted for it and who funded it when he was the Treasury Minister of Israel, he funded it and he voted for it. Now he claims he was always against it. He warned that it was going to be bad. What a liar. He supported it until the last week. The week before, he announced that he's against it. After voting for it in the cabinet, after voting for it in the Knesset, after funding it right up until the end, this is the typical sleazy, hypocritical, two-faced behavior of Netanyahu. The ultimate politician. He is the ultimate political opportunist, the ultimate phony. But to show you where the political winds are blowing, Lewinsky Stinks, he claims now he was always against it. All the people that were for it now, they don't want to admit that they were for it. Nobody wants to admit that they were for it now. So there's no question that this has been one hell of a lesson for the Jews in Israel. The only thing is, they're turning again to the same leaders because they feel they have no one else, because we're not there to run against them. So they feel, what are we going to do? It's either the Likud or the Labor Party or other leftist parties. What are we going to do? Naftali Bennett is another phony. He and the Yesha Council, they supported this retreat from the Sinai. They betrayed the Jews in Gush Katif. Naftali Bennett says, we've given up on the Sinai. We're not going to, he says in all the interviews, he says, we don't plan, we're not going to go back to the Sinai. We don't want to go back to Sinai. He doesn't want part of the land of Israel. And he assures the, and he not only assures the Arabs that they can stay, and he wants to help them, and he and his party have proposed legislation to help them, to make life more comfortable for them. And they're handing over the whole Negev to the Bedouin, him and his party, the Bedouin Arabs. So these are the choices being offered to the people of Israel. In other words, no choice, no real choice. Any way they turn, it's disaster. Unless we're there to give them another choice. That's why it's so important that we succeed in time. Lewinsky thinks now writes, most Americans side with the Arabs, unquote. I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true. I think most Americans, I don't know if most Americans even know much about this whole situation. But all the polls show that Americans overwhelmingly feel, overwhelmingly side with Israel against the Arabs. Now, they'll still vote for Obama, who is anti-Israel. So, you know, it doesn't mean that much that they claim that they side with Israel. A lot of Americans claim they side with Israel in this situation. But it really doesn't mean that much, because they're willing to vote for Obama. But to say that they side with the Arabs, I mean, Lewinsky thinks that's just, that, you know, that's just, I don't see any evidence to support that. Unless you want to say, well, look, they're voting for Obama. What if you want it? If you want to put it that way, then I guess you can suggest that maybe you could suggest that if they want Obama as president and they want Hillary Clinton as president, they're anti-Israel. And you say, well, look, they're voting for anti-Israel presidents. That means they're anti-Israel. If you want to say that, I guess there's some logic to that. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, bless BDS rabbis, quote unquote. BDS are the boycott, divest animals. Well, of course, they're not rabbis. They're the scum of the earth. They're complete traitors. And, of course, we look forward to the day when Hashem, when God divests them from their bodies, from their human bodies, and puts them in a very warm place where they belong, which certainly will happen to them. Yimach Shmam v'zichram, Shem Reshaim Yirkav. May their names and memories be obliterated. May the name of the wicked rot. Thank you, Lewinsky Stinks. And we now go to our great friend Da Vinci, who writes, and I quote, does the jihadist group ISIS receive their funds just from the Islamic states, like the Gulf states, or do they get support from the Western world too, unquote. Da Vinci, all the money that comes from the Islamic states comes from the Western states. I know what you mean. You're saying directly. I mean, who directly sends money to ISIS? Who directly gives them cash to do what they're doing? But all the money that Saudi Arabia and the Persian Gulf countries and all the Arab countries get, every penny comes from the Western world. They don't produce anything. They produce nothing. They don't even produce even their own oil. They don't know how to drill their own oil. Western people do all the drilling for them. They're too dumb to drill a single barrel of their own oil. And they're making trillions of dollars while all sitting on their Arab tuchuses, while all the Western slaves go there and drill for them. They don't even know how to drill their own oil. They don't know how to process the oil. They don't know how to discover it. They don't know how to drill it. They don't know how to ship it. They don't do anything. Anything. All of it is done by Westerners, by Europeans and Americans and Japanese. Okay, I don't know if you would consider the Japanese to be Westerners, but by people in the modern world, all of it. And they just take in the money and do nothing. So as long as we remain dependent on Arab oil, we are funding ISIS. We are funding the terrorists. All the terrorists are funded by America and Europe and Japan and all countries that continue to buy oil from Muslim countries, from the Muslim world. If we remain dependent on oil, we are funding ISIS and the terrorists. Thank you, Da Vinci. And we now go to the great Mensch, who writes, and I quote, the latest fiasco didn't change Israelis' thinking. One, identify Israel's pain barrier. unquote. Well, I think that if we could reach enough Israelis with our message, it would change Israelis' thinking. Israelis, they don't know what to make out of it because they only hear one side. They never hear our side. Never. So, you're always going to have this nightmare, Manch. It doesn't matter what the pain barrier is. You're always going to have this nightmare until we become big, until we offer an alternative, because no one is offering them an alternative. They don't see any other way out unless we're there to offer them an alternative and say this is a realistic way out, unless we can convince them there's a realistic answer. Until we're there to present that to them, there's no way out here. We're not going to get out of this mess. And it's going to get worse, God forbid, and terrible things are going to come, God forbid, terrible tragedies, unless we get big enough to offer a credible alternative to the surrender policies of all the Israeli governments that we've had. And now Mansch writes too, what would it take to realize Akana was right, unquote? It would take us having a mass movement with a decent-sized budget. If that happens, I guarantee you that huge numbers of Israelis will say Rabbi Kahana was right if they really hear what we have to say. I guarantee it. We've proven it in the past 3.5 months. I guarantee if we had a real budget, instead of 27,000 people joining us, we'd have hundreds of thousands, and they would influence millions in Israel. I guarantee it. Thank you, Mansch. And that's the only thing that's going to do it. Otherwise, they're going to feel, well, look, what choice do we have? A lot of Israelis say to themselves, oh, I wish we could just turn Gaza into a parking lot. What do we put up with this? Let's just go in there and finish them off. A lot of Israelis say that, but they just say it to themselves because they feel nobody's ever going to do it because we don't have any leaders that actually are willing to do it. But if they saw that there are leaders who are willing to do it, and who are willing to do what has to be done, let's put it that way, willing to do what has to be done in order to get the Arab enemy out of Israel, if they saw that, I'm telling you, a lot of them would agree. A lot of them would agree. I believe most of them would agree. If we become a mass movement, I believe we'll become unstoppable. Thank you, Mansch. And we now go to our friend Kyle, who writes, and I quote, Dear Chaim, I believe you are a good ethical character, but could you elaborate on where the funds for donations go, unquote. Well, you saw, Kyle, where they go in the past 3.5 months. You saw we had an advertising campaign. And we have one person on staff, Shlomo. We have one person on staff full-time, Shlomo. And we have expenses for keeping the forums up. It's very expensive because our forums are specially protected against attacks. Before we had that type of special protection, if you recall, our forums were down. We're down frequently because we come under attack all the time. People attack our forum all the time. They have not succeeded in bringing down our forum, thank God, for years now. But that costs hundreds of dollars every month. Just paying to keep the forums up costs hundreds of dollars a month. Just for that. And there are other expenses when we do our videos, whatever we do, we have to have the proper software and proper equipment, and we're constantly doing things that are necessary in order to make sure that what we're producing is high quality. So again, we have a salary that we pay to one full-time employee, Shlomo. We had the advertising campaign. And we have the expenses of keeping the forum up and the expenses of software and other things that we're constantly having to pay for in order to keep things high quality. Our budget is not big, Kyle. Our budget is not a big budget. We do not raise a lot of money. But every single penny that we raise goes to these things I've described. Every single penny goes to it. And in fact, we were actually in over our heads. We were spending, there was a point with the advertising campaign where we were spending more than we were taking in. We were spending more than we were getting. And how we were able to do that, I'm not even going to go into the details about that. I can't go into details, but, you know, believe me, we were in over our heads. It was a rough situation. So that's where our money goes. And if we get more money, I'll tell you right now where it would go if we got more money. It will go to two things. Number one, it will go to further spreading the word and advertising our movement. Not necessarily on Facebook, but it will go to spreading the word and advertising our movement. Number two, it will go to setting us up for a campaign eventually to run for the Knesset. That's what if we had real money, if we had a really big budget, that's what we would want to do. Right now, our budget isn't big enough. Our budget's only big enough to barely do the things that we're doing right now, to barely pay for Shlomo's salary. We have to have Shlomo on staff to function properly, to pay Shlomo's salary, to pay for the other expenses. We barely get by the skin of our teeth with what we're raising. And sometimes the expenses are more than we raise. Thank you, Kyle. And we go to the great Chicago Jew who writes, and I quote, "I wish the fellow Jew Gut Yontif," which means good holiday in Yiddish, "on Tisha B'Av. He said he was insulted. Should he have been? Did I say something wrong?" Actually, on Tisha B'Av, we don't say that. I know you meant well, Chicago Jew, and you didn't know. But we don't say good holiday on Tisha B'Av. We usually don't say that. Someday it will be a happy time, a happy holiday, when we rebuild the temple. And in the Messianic era, God is going to turn all the fast days into great holidays, and we're going to joyous holidays, it says. But right now, Tisha B'Av is the worst day of the Hebrew calendar, and a day of mourning, and a day of great sadness and mourning because of the fact that all the terrible things that have happened historically, and because we still don't have the Holy Temple, and we still don't have the things that we should have. If only the Jewish people wanted it, we would have it. But the fact that we don't have it is why it's a day of mourning. Why it's a fast day and it's a day of mourning. Thank you, Chicago Jew, but I know you meant well, and so, you know, you certainly didn't mean any harm, and I think he should have explained that to you, but maybe he didn't realize that you had good intentions, which you obviously you did. Thank you, Chicago Jew. And we now go to our friend Fibro Girl, who writes, and I quote, "Some commandments seem to only extend to other Jews, e.g. Leviticus 19:14, not to curse any Jews. Is it ethical to treat non-Jews so differently?" Unquote. Well, first of all, there is no commandment not to curse any Jews. Okay? You have to remember, we read these things in the original Hebrew, Fibro Girl. And it doesn't say that. In fact, we're commanded to curse evil, self-hating Jews. We are required to curse evil, self-hating Jews. Now, true, of course the Bible is going to say that you shouldn't curse your brothers, and of course it's going to have special commandments for your brothers. Just like it has special commandments of what you're supposed to do with your children. Obviously, the Jewish people are a nation of people. Obviously, the way they respond to each other as brothers, there's going to be a special kinship and a special relationship there. That doesn't mean that we don't care about righteous non-Jews. We do care about righteous non-Jews. We do love righteous Gentiles. But obviously, Jews have a special kinship with each other because they're brothers and sisters. Obviously. That's only natural. But it does not, the commandment, commandments that tell you not to curse Jews, it means, in other words, to unjustly curse somebody, is not permitted. And I can tell you, you are not permitted to unjustly curse a non-Jew either. You're not permitted to unjustly curse anybody. And if a Jew is evil, you're supposed to curse. If a Jew really is an evil traitor, you're supposed to curse them. We have a special prayer cursing Jewish traitors. Special prayer just for Jewish traitors. Is that fair that we pick on Jewish traitors? Why don't we pick on all the Gentile anti-Semites too in the prayer? But we have a special prayer just picking on Jewish traitors three times a day, and we ask Hashem, we ask God to destroy them, to destroy them in this world and utterly curse them. Special prayer. It's called Velamal Shinim, which means, and to the informers and to the heretics, Jewish traitors. Is that fair? Anyone who's been on our forum, I love when people say, well, you don't react the same to Jews and non-Jews doing bad things on your forum. If you see an evil Jew out there or an evil non-Jew, you react differently. That's true. We do. We're much harsher toward Jews who are anti-Semites and are against Israel. On our forum, we give it to the self-hating Jews much more than we give it to the Gentile anti-Semites. Much more. So, the claim you're making is just, it's factually wrong. Thank you, Fibro Girl. And we go now to the great Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, common sense, and logic, who writes, and I quote, one, if Ishmael did tshuva, why does it not reflect on his offspring, unquote? Well, it says that he did tshuva when the time came to bury Yitzchak, his father. But even if he did tshuva, after all the terrible things he did in his life, because he was actually evil in his life, he did a lot of evil. Even if he did some tshuva at the end, that's only a personal tshuva, that's not national tshuva. It does not affect his offspring. His offspring still have free will and can still do bad things. And as far as him doing tshuva, we have to understand there are two things in Judaism that are different from other religions. When you do something bad, when you do something really, really bad, God forbid, there's tshuva and kapara. Now, there's certain things. Tshuva means you return, you repent. You regret what you did, you repent, you promise not to do it again. That's tshuva. Return. Kapara is you actually have to atone. You have to actually make up for the wrong you did. Now, let's say somebody, for instance, committed murder, God forbid. Can they do tshuva for murder? Yes. You can do tshuva, you can repent for having committed the murder. But that's not this, but you're not doing kapara. You still have to do kapara. In other words, you still have to atone, you still have to pay for that crime. You're not forgiven. You're doing tshuva, it helps that you're doing tshuva. You're showing you regret, you're showing you repent, you're showing you don't want to do it again. That will mitigate things to a certain extent, mitigate the punishment to a certain extent. But you can't bring the person, if you murdered an innocent person, God forbid, you can't bring the innocent person back. You ended their life. You ended their chance to do mitzvot. You ended their chance to do things in the world. You took them away from their family. You committed a horrific, unforgivable crime. If someone does that, so that person must pay. They must pay with their life in this world. And if we don't have judges who are just enough to kill them for doing that, they should be killed. If they killed an innocent person, they should be killed. They deserve to be killed and they should be killed. If we don't have judges who will make them pay in this world, whether they pay or don't pay in this world, in the next world they're going to be punished more. What the degree of their punishment, how severe the punishment, that's something God has to decide. But there's no way someone can, for instance, murder an innocent person, or there's no way someone can commit rape, or there's no way someone could commit some atrocious, horrible crime, and then say, I'm sorry, and everything is forgiven, and that's the end of that. It doesn't work that way. There's tshuva and there's kapara. Those are the laws of God in the Torah and in the Tanakh, in the Jewish Bible. So, even if he does tshuva, he did so many terrible things in his life, he still has to do kapara. And it's not all forgiven and forgotten and erased. And the nation that he produced will not be a righteous nation because of all the terrible things he did in his life. The tshuva will not turn it into a righteous nation. The nation he produces will still be evil, because of all the terrible things he did and because of the terrible influence. Now, they have free will. They don't have to be evil. But it's predicted that they will be in the Bible. And, of course, it turned out that they are indeed the cruelest, most evil people. Thank you, Dr. Dan. And now we go to Dr. Dan's second question, which is, 2, isn't it wonderful that our enemies are so dumb, i.e. Soros is dumping SodaStream stock? Unquote. Yeah, sometimes our enemies do dumb things, and SodaStream mainly employs Arabs and mainly helps the Arabs. I wouldn't give SodaStream a penny either. I also would boycott SodaStream. But you know, Dr. Dan, the reason our enemies do things like this sometimes is because the Jews are so sick in this generation, so crazy. Our enemies don't even know how to hurt us anymore. They don't even know what to do. Who do you boycott? What do you do? How do you get to Israel? Because the Jews are so nuts, are so nutty, that it's hard to tell sometimes for our enemies. They're confused. They're confused. They don't even know what to do or how to do it. They don't know what the most effective way is. They want to destroy us, but they don't know the most effective way to do it. We drive them crazy too. But your point is well taken. Our enemies sometimes do dumb things. That sometimes certainly does happen. And as usual, of course, the points you make are great points, Dr. Dan. And we now go to the great Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, people say JTF won't attract righteous blacks if JTF calls evil blacks names like monkeys, or if JTF does Ebonics imitations in affirmative action stories. Does Pastor Manning know the things you've said about blacks and the imitations of blacks you've done in affirmative action stories? Does he agree that it's not racist since it's only directed against evil blacks? Unquote. Yes, Pastor Manning has seen some of my videos. Well, he knows that I'm not a racist. He knows that, for instance, I have the utmost respect for him, and I think Pastor Manning is a wonderful person. I pray for him, and we love Pastor Manning. He knows that JTF loves Pastor Manning. Pastor Manning is very righteous. So he knows we're not racists. If all the blacks were like Pastor Manning and the people in his church, I mean, obviously, obviously it'd be a whole different world. Binyamin, have you ever... Pastor Manning's not a good example, Binyamin. You're bringing up a bad example. I'll tell you why. Have you ever seen what Pastor Manning says about blacks? Have you ever seen Pastor Manning's videos on blacks? Go to YouTube. He has over 40 million views, so you'll find his videos all over the place. See what he says about black people. Who behave, the type of black, and I'm talking about the same type of blacks that we go after. See what he says. By the way, he calls them niggers. And you should see the things he says. Only white people can run things properly. Black people haven't accomplished anything. They never will. If white people decide to riot and revolt, I'm going to be on their side. I mean, go to his videos and check him out. I don't think he's exactly representative. I mean, he's not a good example of someone who would be turned off by what we say. Thank you, Binyamin. And we go now to the great EB22, who writes, and I quote, "Please discuss the upcoming Tennessee Republican Senate primary between incumbent Lamar Alexander and the two challengers, Joe Carr and George Flynn," unquote. Well, George Flynn shouldn't have been in the race. He just took votes away from Joe Carr. Unfortunately, Lamar Alexander won the primary. He just won that primary. And that's unfortunate because he's an animal. He supports amnesty and is just a complete rhino sellout. We would have supported Joe Carr. Lamar Alexander got 49% of the vote. Joe Carr, I think, got 40 or 41%. And then George Flynn took some votes away from Joe Carr. It's unfortunate. I mean, in a Republican primary, in a state like Tennessee with so many evangelical Christians and so many conservatives, Lamar Alexander still is able to win the Republican primary. That's really tragic. That is tragic. Disappointing and tragic. It shows where this country is going. Lamar Alexander should not be elected dog catcher. He's a complete fraud. I don't know what's going to be. Let's just hope that Republicans snap out of this and get their senses back in time for 2016 to put up a real Republican candidate like Ted Cruz for president. Let's hope. Thank you, EB. And we now go to the great Paper Cut, who writes, and I quote, "Chaim, why are so many Arab lands in the Bible named after Baal? Baal was the illegitimate son of Semiramis of Babylon, who was killed in a Boar hunt." Semiramis. Okay. Baal also is the name, as you know, Papercut, of the idol that was worshipped by many people throughout the Middle East, and not only throughout the Middle East, but as far as Babylon. There were people who worshipped Baal, but especially in Canaan, in Canaan. And especially in the areas around the land of Israel, there were many people who worshipped Baal. He was the name of their god, of their idol. In addition to that, the term Baal, it's not only many Arab lands, but even Arab areas. We have many areas in the Middle East that with names and towns that have Baal in them. And again, it's named after their idol. In Hebrew, the term Baal also means husband, boss, owner, the owner of something, boss, husband. So there's a deeper meaning to that as well. Of course, we know that even if someone is an owner or seems to be a boss or seems to be a dictator and seems to be very strong, because many of these gods were really created in the image of dictators. They made gods that look like them, and they turned themselves into gods. And so in Hebrew, we're almost saying that even if someone is an owner or is an owner of something or a powerful person, you can never turn him into a god. There's only one god. So there are a number of meanings to the word in Hebrew, the term Baal. And there's a deeper meaning in why it's used over and over again in reference to the idols in the land of Israel. But it was a term that they used, and it was an idol that they worshipped. And they threw their firstborn children into the fire to this idol, and engage in the most disgusting and cruel and vicious type of worship behavior that was just so horrific. I don't want people to get nauseous and be disgusted. So I'm not going to tell you what they did. But trust me when I tell you, it was so disgusting. The things they did when they worshipped him, so disgusting. It's just something that it's so disgusting that I don't want to repeat it. I don't even want to repeat it on the program because it's just too unpleasant and disgusting to repeat. But he was one of the central idols of the Middle East. Thank you, Papercut. And we go now to the great Russian Leo 777, who writes, and I quote, "Are you familiar with a terrorist organization called Arab American Association of New York and the beast in a tent who heads it named Linda Sarsour?" Unquote. Yeah, I've seen her on Fox News. I don't actually watch television, but you know, I see videos sometimes of things that were on Fox News. People send me videos sometimes. Sometimes I see videos on YouTube. She's a typical spokesman and representative of an organization that is a front for the terrorists and an organization that attempts to whitewash and assist the terrorists and become their propaganda agents. That's what she is. She's an agent, a propaganda agent for Islamic terrorism. And that's what the Arabs and Muslims are. The Arab and Muslim organizations in the United States, that's what they do. That's the function they play. They propagandize and try to minimize. And if anybody really points out the degree of how horrific Islamic terrorism and Islamic genocide is, anyone who points that out is called an Islamophobe, and they intimidate people and they try to threaten people. That's the role that she and her organization play, along with CARE and all these other groups. Thank you. Thank you, Russian Leo. And we now go to the great Tag Mechir Tzedek, who writes, and I quote, "Discuss ISIS strategically speaking. Strategically, are they a good or bad phenomenon? How serious of a threat are they to Israel?" Unquote. Well, there's good and bad. The good part is that they're killing, you know, they're killing and fighting and having civil war in Syria and Iraq. I mean, that's good. When Muslim terrorists and Muslim butchers kill each other instead of killing infidels, instead of killing non-Muslims, that's good. So in that respect, we're certainly not against the fact that the Sunnis and the Shiites, if they want to slaughter each other instead of slaughtering the rest of us, we have no problem with that. So in that respect, I think they're relatively good. But of course, if they take power, they're dangerous. They're very dangerous. If they take power in an oil-rich country like Iraq, and if they take power in Syria on Israel's northern border, they could pose a real danger. There's no question about that. So there's good and there's bad. It depends how strong they get and what it leads to. The best situation is where they keep fighting with each other. But if they actually win and take over countries, they could become dangerous. They could become dangerous. On the other hand, if they took over Iraq and went to war with Iran, that wouldn't be bad, possibly. I don't know. Maybe then Iran would have an excuse and everybody would say, we have to help Iran more and let them build nuclear bombs so they could take care of this. The insanity knows no bounds, the insanity in the world today. So who knows? Almost anything you think might be good can backfire, can boomerang. You've got to be very careful. But as I mentioned, there are good and bad aspects to them. Tag Mechir now writes, "How serious of a threat are they to Israel?" Unquote. Well, I think the threat, if they took over Iraq and Syria and they're on Israel's northern border, of course there's a threat there. And Israel has a very serious threat on their northern front. What it would lead to in terms of Iran, I think Iran is still Israel's biggest problem. Israel's biggest threat is still Iran and that nuclear program. That is the number one threat to Israel. How what ISIS is doing would affect that, I have no idea. I don't know what it will lead to. But there's no question that an organization that is based upon the principles of Al-Qaeda and aligned with Al-Qaeda If they take over big countries on Israel's northern border that have large reserves of oil, huge reserves of oil, of course there's a danger. Thank you, Tag Mechir. And I want to thank everybody for another program that I very much enjoyed doing. Until next week, Shalom.